Thomas Green here with Ethical Marketing Service. On the podcast today, we have Dancho Dimkov. Dancho, welcome.
Hello. Hi, Thomas. Thank you very much for inviting me on the show.
You are very welcome. Would you like to take a moment and tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. I mean, Thomas, I have a shorter version of the story and the longer version of the story. And for the longer, I always need at least a few beers to tell the whole story. But in short, I'm an owner of a business consulting company, which is focused on helping companies grow. And since last year, we actually specialized into outreach, into prospecting and lead generation with primary focus on B2B world and high ticket service providers. The thing is that BizB is established 5 years already. Ooh, time flies. And over the last 5 years, you know, as we learn, as we upgrade, we saw that the most value that we can provide is really helping high ticket service providers and reaching out to cold prospects, start building that relationship. Ethical relationship is the keyword here, and start building the relationship, authority toward bringing people on meetings and hopefully bringing more clients to our clients.
Okay, thanks for that introduction. The topic of discussion, as we previously discussed, is LinkedIn Sales Navigator.
So, my favorite topic.
Well, I'm glad it's your favorite topic because I don't have a great deal of knowledge or stuff to say about it. So for people that don't know, what is LinkedIn Sales Navigator?
Sure. Well, Thomas, to take a step back, I just wanted to give you an idea why LinkedIn you really need it, is that since we are working mostly into the B2B world, and I'm sure that you as a marketing agency are also targeting other companies, B2B, there are so many ways on how you can reach out to prospects, and you have ads, you have content, you have social media, you have cold calling and email. But when it comes to social media, I've realized that LinkedIn is one of the best social media for businesses. I mean, you cannot really go to what's the newest one, TikTok, and start chatting about your business opportunities. I mean, the demographics there that people are going are more teenager, probably it's TikTok. Or, you know, in my time, we had Facebook and then Twitter came in and some of them moved to Twitter. Then Instagram came up, so the younger population moved to Instagram. And now with the TikTok, and there will be so many social media. But when it comes to business network, I truly believe that LinkedIn is the best network out there for businesses. And for me, because we did a lot of lead generation and database building for a lot of our clients, it was a really hard process. I mean, you find a database and then you build with emails, with contact information and everything. And then in 6 months or 12 months, you need to update the database because people change job, people get fired, people get promoted. So it's a constant effort on updating your database. On the other hand, you have LinkedIn, where as people change their job, they're so happy they go on LinkedIn and update it on their own. So you somehow end up with a database that is self-updated. People are happy to tell you that they've changed their job or position or moved to a different company. So when we had that realization, we said LinkedIn is actually the best way how companies can grow their businesses, especially if they're targeting other companies. Now, when it comes to the Sales Navigator, it is a premium feature functionality on LinkedIn, which gives you all the advanced filters that you need. Because, yeah, I mean, you are into ads. I'm sure you, when you do Facebook targeting, you say, well, I'm interested in males 25 to 40 with these characteristics, with these demographics, with this interest. Well, the Sales Navigator is exactly the same thing just for LinkedIn. So what you can filter out, you can filter geographically. You can say, I'm interested in people from the UK. So it's going to show you exactly how many people are in the UK. Then you're saying, well, UK is a big geography. So I'm interested into the automotive industry. So people that are in UK, but are working in the automotive industry. Then you can choose the company size. Well, I want to be up to 50 employees. So it will show you all the people that are in UK in automotive that are working in companies up to 50 employees. And you can use several additional filters to narrow down the industry, the employee size. But it's more importantly that after that, you can focus on the people. you can say, well, you know what, I'm actually after the CEOs of these companies, or I'm more like a marketing person, I want to approach the chief marketing officer, chief marketing executive, or a head of marketing or director of marketing. So you can put those specific positions, and LinkedIn will be like, in our database we have 6,000 people that are chief marketing executives from UK in the automotive industry within up to 50 employees. So for us, that's like a magic wand. You click a button and it shows you the specific segment that you can then do whatever you want. You can use ads, you can do outreach, you can build a database out of them, you can even start some chit-chatting or building a relationship with those people. But at the end of the day, the Sales Navigator is actually the functionality of being able to segment the market into different sub-segments.
So how does it differ from the ad platform?
From what?
The LinkedIn ads.
Yeah, well, with the LinkedIn ads, you need to pay for the ads. While with the Sales Navigator, is a monthly subscription. You actually pay in different currencies, but somewhere 60 to 80, whether it's dollar, pounds, or euros. And with that, you have access to that advanced filter segmentation. Then, if you want to do ads, you go into that direction. If you want to do outreach, you can start sending invitations to those people. Or there are some tools, automation tools, that you can just scrape the list and then find their emails and then do a proper either email or cold calling or different approaches. The whole goal is not you have a list that you can just populate with ads, but you have a list of highly relevant prospects for you. For example, if you have an accounting software, you are a marketing agency, so if you specialize into SaaS or software companies, through LinkedIn, you can filter out SaaS companies from UK and you can focus on the CEOs. And once you have them, you can use them for ads, you can use them for outreach, for different channels.
I can certainly see how it would be beneficial for people who are looking for, you know, to scrape a database for leads. When you say it's outreach, are we talking messages? So you can automatically send messages to that number of people, is that right?
Well, you can send messages, whether it can be done automatically or manually, that really depends on the campaign and the metrics, because we've worked with 400 clients so far in these 5 years, and in some case you apply all the filters and there are like 100 people in total that is their target, and we're like, well, in these 100 people you really need to manually approach, like check out their profile, see what they've done, and see, I mean, toward the account-based marketing, Thomas, in this way, because before reaching out, you can do some insight, you can do research on the person, you can do research on the company. So when you're reaching out to them, it's like, hi, Paul, I saw your podcast, especially I like the podcast with Gary on this topic, I would really love to connect, and also I want to follow up on that. So then it's really tailored approach, like one-on-one chit-chatting. Or if you have a much bigger audience, then you're saying, well, I can do some automation, but not like send message one, wait 3 days, send another one, or at least not the whole conversation. You can just automate the conversation starter topic. Like you can send an invitation, they accept you, you can follow up with some question or some general information. And once they respond, you still need to move again to manual conversation, because I still don't believe that much in automation. I mean, automation, I truly believe as a set of automated steps. But automating the conversation like chatbots and stuff, it will take a few more years till we get there. I still don't feel comfortable when you chat with something and you realize you're actually chatting with a chatbot. It's really uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's not quite there yet. I do understand. But for people who are potentially using it for the first time, what would you recommend of the options that you've gone through?
Well, actually, if you go to our website on BizB Solution, under resources, we have video interviews where every 2 weeks we are doing a video recording of a software automation tool for prospecting, whether it's for LinkedIn, whether it's for email. And I think we have at least 10 so far. And they're short, like 15, 20 minutes where we leave the owners present their software with screen sharing, and they really go by step by step. Well, if you click like here, you can set up a message here, you can do automation like that. But for first time users, I really recommend to trade first manually, because you cannot automate the process that you haven't done manually and start considering directly automation. We have here an interesting term called digital prospecting fever, and we coined that term because people in physical life behave on a certain way, but when then it comes online, they behave completely different. To give you an example, I mean, before Corona, we were all going on B2B events and exhibitions and fairs. And when you go to a B2B conference or fair, you know, you can meet 5 to 10 people, you can establish some meaningful conversation with them. If there is a good match, you can exchange some business cards and then follow up either on email or a call if there is an opportunity. Well, people don't do that online. Online, they even write the message I'm writing to 5 million people. And then you blast to a huge amount of people. And then you're wondering why nobody is responding. And that's actually, you're caught by the fever. Well, online, I can actually do so much more. And it doesn't work like that. I mean, Thomas, when even doing automation, you cannot send a message that you wouldn't otherwise send it manually. So our recommendation is first use it a month manually, send several outreach, see what kind of response you're going to get, try to tailorly respond that conversation, and then you can start thinking, well, now I know what are the most common questions and responses and discussion topics, then I can find the tool that can just replace me and use this step 1, 2, and 3, and 4. And many times it doesn't work like that. I mean, with the automation, people know that they can blast to millions and you're either a prince from Nigeria selling money or selling Viagra and those kind of stuff. And that's unfortunate, but you know, I saw that on your website, your ethical marketing agency, people forget about the ethics when it comes to the outreach. And I really think that on a physical event, you know, you cannot just think, hi, my name is Thomas, here is my business card, if you're interested, call me. Hi, my name is Thomas, if you're interested, hi. Hi, my name is Thomas. People don't do it like that. And somehow, when it gets to online, we do it. I don't know why, I don't know how, but it's just we have a switch in our mindset. It's like, I'm in a physical event. Ah, nice to meet you. How is life? Are you? Ah, what are you doing? I'm doing this. We're not a good match. Okay, nice meeting you. Hi, next one. Ah, we're a good match. Well, I can actually help you. Give me a business card, I'll follow up. Then you move to online and you're like spamming everybody. It's really weird experience.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, every now and again, you used to get those people who do that one-line introduction business card and on they go to the next person. But they don't, they're not perceived very favorably, are they? So, yeah.
But that's usually a junior work, you know. At the junior, you're focused on quantity. At the end of the day, when your boss asks you how many people you talk to, 100 people. I went to a B2B conference. I reached my business card to 100 people. And then when you think, well, what was the outcome of that input? And usually very low. And when you're talking to senior sales, he said, well, I talked with 5 people, I closed 2, and that's it. There is no point in doing that kind of quantity.
When you're doing manual outreach, like you say, to begin with as well, you can probably minimize the amount of people that you're going for and therefore personalize it a bit more and most likely get some response for that.
I can actually show you the several steps that we're doing for the outreach process, because I think it will be very useful if someone decides to start. I mean, a side disclaimer, on our website, we have absolutely everything for free. I mean, we have 7 different ebooks. Okay, you need to leave us your email. But other than that, we have an ebook on how to define your ideal client profile, then how to build a database, then even how to create the engaging conversation starters, and how to execute a LinkedIn campaign. And we even had an ebook that once people start responding, how to nurture them into a meeting. Not sending an invitation, someone accepts you. Hi, my name is Dantra, I sell this. If you're interested, here 75 attachment and 3 PowerPoint presentation. And it doesn't work like that, honestly. And I was just saying that we have that resources, everything available on our website. We give it for free. And usually when we work with companies, in our case, they're usually B2B service providers. First, we take the LinkedIn profile. Because I know that people are saying, you know, your LinkedIn profile should be like a CV. And that is true if you're looking for a job. But if you're a business owner and if you're really thinking about growing your business, you're not selling yourself, you're actually selling your company. So your profile should be actually how you can help your ideal clients. How can you help automotive industry, or how you help business companies, or B2C, or consumer products. So actually, your LinkedIn profile should actually reflect how you actually help the companies you serve. And we do that, so we make it as a funnel to be really attractive, to add some personal note, not to be, hi, my name is Dancho, I have an executive MBA, I have a master degree, I have 20 years of experience in that. But it's really like a story. It's like, I'm Dancho, I had an agency, I had a lot of problems with my agency, and I figured one thing, how to use the outreach to actually get clients. And now my goal is to actually help a lot of other agencies in order they could do the same and get more clients. So when you put that as a story, it's really on a different level. And we've tested it a lot, Thomas, and it really affects the acceptance rate, engagement rate, and people start connecting with you because, you know, now 21st century, you have so many invitations and people guard is like this. It's like, who is this guy? Why is he inviting me? And we have an internal joke here, like someone invites us, we self accept, and we're just seeing how much time it will pass till they start pitching. Whether it's like accept immediate follow up, well, I sell this, or I do website, or I do SEO or stuff, or they will genuinely engage into a conversation, which is what we preach. Engage into a conversation, qualify, see if there is a need, and only if there is a need, you can invite them on a call where you can discuss more, or if you see that they're not ready, you keep them in your network. And then maybe they're not ready now, but maybe after a few months, they'll be ready. And if you have them in your network, they can see your posts, social content, and what you share. So the first step is really boosting your profile to really reflect to your ideal client profile. The second step is usually using the LinkedIn Sales Navigator filters to find, to laser focus on who is your ideal target, whether it's like just 500 people, whether it's 100 people, or whether it's 5,000 people, the whole goal is that to know who you're talking to. Because when you're doing automation, you don't want to be, hi, my name is Dancho, we do lead generation as general, or we actually help management consultant team bring more strategy calls, which is far more specific. And then you can use LinkedIn to focus on management consultants, owners of management consulting companies. So the whole aspect of the campaign will be more tailored to that group. Then we have a copywriter that it doesn't write message one and then move them to a meeting and to a third, but we do sequencing of messages, but the focus is not to drive them to the funnel, but the, you know, as a funnel is like this, our focus is not to drive them down, but actually try three to different conversation starters just to get them engaged. That's the whole goal of the automation, just to get them engaged, because once they start responding, we are moving on one-to-one communication where we can move them down and qualify if they're a good fit. So we usually do 3 to 4 messages, and you know, there is a good psychology behind those messages. Like the first one is duality. So when we are creating the messages, we're trying to put some duality in the messages. It's like, as a management consultant, I'm talking about because that was our last campaign. As a management consultant, on the one end, it's really up to management consultant to actually help companies to survive during this crisis. But on the other hand, now companies have really tightened budget, which really applies also for marketing agency. On the one hand, now marketing agencies should support companies in order to get more clients and survive of the crisis. But on the other hand, companies really have tough budgets. And you see, I'm putting a duality, and people really engage in this kind of conversation. I mean, Thomas, when you're asked to, what do you think between A and B, people really want to respond. And that's really a good strategy. And then the second conversation starter is usually empathy, where we are saying, you know what, I know it's hard. And as a marketing agency, now during crisis, it's really now a crisis everywhere. It is a good start. Starting of a conversation is like, when companies hit a crisis, what they cut first? The marketing budget. It's a really bad mistake, but it's reality. It's like, when people need to cut, they start from the marketing. And it's really hard in this to compete against on an international level. So we try to be more empathic with the client. And you know, if they want duality, imagine how much people want to complain. It's like, you're right, it's really hard, or actually it's not hard for me, I really blossomed during this corona crisis. And that's all we need to start responses, because from there we move to manual conversation and we're saying, you're right, if you're doing really good, just tell me how are you currently getting your leads, because it means that you're quite good at that. Or if you're not, well, have you considered LinkedIn as leads? And you see, I'm actually qualifying them if they're good leads for us. Or if they say, you know what, we have a team of lead generation for LinkedIn in-house, or we're actually working with an agency for 3 months. And then we think, well, there's no point in pitching. Yeah, we can ask, are you happy with the current supplier? But you cannot really push them, well, just come on a call. There's no point. And the whole goal with that conversation and relationship building is to connect with people. And I think that's the ethical part here, where we're not trying to blast to a million people and then with a hope of 0.0001 success, you get few interested people. But it's actually to start building relationship. So if they know you as the go-to guy for marketing services or for LinkedIn in this case, even if they don't need now, after 6 months, they're going to be like, I know a guy on LinkedIn that is really good at LinkedIn, let me connect with him. And that's really the relationship building. And Thomas, I also didn't mention that when people connect with you on LinkedIn, you have them in your network. So if you're reaching out to your ideal clients, you're actually surrounding yourself with your ideal target. So it's not just whether you're going to do a blast or outreach or some campaign, but whoever accepts you, you have them, because then you can do some social content, you can create some blogs, you can create a blog on how marketing agency can utilize the outreach to get more clients, or how management consultant can actually do themselves the LinkedIn outreach to get more clients. And you can start posting about that, because you know that, yeah, at the beginning you won't have a high visibility, but as you start posting more frequently, you are the go-to guy for LinkedIn outreach.
Great information. Thank you for all of that. You mentioned that you did some tests before about what was effective and what wasn't effective. Can you let me know what you tested and what the results were?
Yeah, well, actually, we're now in the process of building a BSB laboratory. And, you know, like in the, for each service, we have a different B. So now we have a special B in a white coast with Googles, with a, how it's called, doing experiments. And the whole goal is that we have informal tests a lot. I'll show you, give you examples. But now we just want to formalize it. So our goal is to test as many things as possible. For example, you take two LinkedIn profiles with absolutely everything the same. The only difference is one is male, the other one is female. So we start sending invitation to 1,000 people, and we actually measure the acceptance rate on the male versus the female. And from experience, female will always get better acceptance rate. But the problem is we've never made it as a one variable and everything else as a fixed. But from experience, as we work with different clients, we've noticed that with females, they get really much better acceptance rate. So now with the experiment, we want to say, is it by 20% or is it by 50%? So we want to be able to do that. Or then we're trying to just tweak the name, whether if you put a more Eastern Europe name versus Western Europe name, to see whether it will also affect the invitation. So there are like 10 or 15 tests that we want to do just on the invitation. Then we want to do on the follow-ups, whether a push directly on a call will yield a better results than actually, you know, a 10 sequence message. And we want to document these findings, so then we can make as a small ebook, which will say like the 10 or 20 tests we did, but this will be backed by science, like 37.5% improvement if you do like this, or 25%, or insignificant difference between this and this. We don't know on that. However, when we were doing now tests in BSB, we had a client from Ireland actually, who was getting really bad acceptance rate. The good and bad acceptance rate is really when you compare it against a benchmark. So in our case, like 25 to 35% acceptance rate is a good benchmark. If you get 5 to 7% acceptance rate, something's wrong. And it's easy, because acceptance rate is affected by what? It's either the invitation message, your profile, or the target. And those are the only three variables that affect your acceptance rate. The invitation message is usually as plain as possible, so I'm moving it away. So if you have a low acceptance rate, it's either your profile or it's your target. Either your target does not resonate with you and we need to change your profile so it will more resonate, or we need to change the target and find another target that will more resonate with your profile. And with that client from Ireland, he was doing some mindset coaching. paradigm shifting something. And the point there was that we just changed his title, like not helping companies elevating their business, something like that. We just made it like a CEO of Paradigm Coaching, or I'm not sure what was the exact name of the company. And you know what? From 3, 5, 7, immediately 25-30% acceptance rate. And it was like a small tweak into the profile. Nothing else, same target, same people. We just made one tweak and it significantly improved. And we also had many times like, yeah, people are accepting us, 50% acceptance rate, we're perfect, but how many of people are engaging? And usually, again, we are looking between 30-40% engagement rate. If it's below that, like 10-15%, we're saying, well, they've accepted you, which means the profile is good, it's a good match, but then the conversation starters are bad because they are not resonating. When you're setting up the duality, they don't feel it. Maybe we need to tweak the messages. Or when you're doing empathy, you're not hitting that nerve like, exactly, I feel you, I want to respond to you, but it's more like, why he's writing these weird messages? That's not my job, or that's not really touching me. So that means that we either need to tweak the profile to the target audience, or we need to tweak the message sequence. But that's why we are doing the agile way, Thomas, where we measure everything. And during that measure, we do a lot of A-B testing, which really is different for every client. I found it surprisingly, we had a client targeting Singapore and Hong Kong, which gave one message structure perfect results. The same messages in US did not give the same results. So same profile, same service, same target audience, completely different results. And then we realized that there are some variables that we cannot control. I mean, we had clients that are celebrities, and with them it's very easy. I mean, when they send the invitation, everybody accept them. We got to 80% acceptance rate. They're like, yeah, I'm so happy you invited me. I would love to get on a call. Or companies that really had a good social proof, like case studies, testimonials from clients, video testimonials. So when you talk with someone, you know, they're curious. They're going to check out your LinkedIn profile. They're going to click on your website to try to look you up a bit. And if you have a strong social proof, it's much easier to move them down the funnel and bring them on a call rather than, you know, a startup 6 months ago started a business, had one or two clients, nothing to show as a proof. Then it's much, much harder to move them down the ladder. So once we have the messages, we can start with the outreach, and consistency is key here. We need to send daily invitation. It's not like I'm going to send one blast and that's it, because on LinkedIn, as you send daily, some people start responding, you start getting manual conversation with them, and that's the nurturing part. And it's a funnel. You get daily new, some are stuck in the middle, some are stuck a bit lower, and there is always people that are, okay, let's jump on a call, or let's discuss this further. So in short, that's the cycle that we're doing, and we measure absolutely everything because for each client it's different. We've realized that it takes the first few months is closely monitoring the campaign, measuring the acceptance rate, the engagement rate, the meeting rate, just to make sure that it doesn't work, change different target, it doesn't work, trade different messages. And honestly, I was thinking that, yeah, if you find the right messages with the right target, it will work forever. We've realized that the same thing on a different client, it gives different results.
It's great information. I love that sort of large scale testing. I find that really interesting.
Well, we even had few clients, you know, we didn't do the outreach for lead generation, but for product validation, product market fit. They were like, you know what, we have a software, we are not sure whether this is our target or that, and we need to go in front of investors. And we are like, well, we can actually test that for you. We can actually send to 2,000 invitation to that target, Once they respond, we're going to nurture them and bring them on a meeting. And then just based on the metrics I've just told you, you can see which target audience best resonates with you. And then you can do it a worldwide scale, or you can do international. But as a pilot project, you can do the outreach because you're getting feedback from the consumers, from the companies, because I'm not interested, I don't like it, it's too expensive, it's not for me, I'm not the right person to talk about this service, you should talk with someone else. This is the feedback that is of absolute importance to clients when they are launching a new service or new product. Because we even had an artificial intelligence software from the US. It was about the in the medical back pain AI that you're just submitting the MRI, and based on thousands, it will suggest you whether you need a surgery or you can do other treatments without going to the surgery. And there was no product actually, it was just an idea. There wasn't even an MVP yet, but the client said, you know what, I want to talk with back pain surgeries and even get them on a call with me to understand better their needs. And we actually do that from around the world. We reach out to a lot of back surgery. I don't know how's the right pronunciation there, but we reach out to them. Some of them were interested, talk to the client, so forth. So then when the client got to an MVP, minimum valuable solution, he could reach back to them and like, well, I already have a prototype now. Would you like to see it? And it was based on your feedback that I got during the prospecting process. So for me, okay, yeah, I'm preaching toward prospecting a lot. I'm really a fanatic about that. I know that, don't get me wrong, the ads serves a different purpose. The prospecting fits a different purpose. Content creation, it's also a long-term strategy for the SEO, blogs and everything. And of course, there is not a single solution. You actually need a mix of everything. But honestly, when we're working for us, BizB, we went to the content way and we know it's going to take a month. You cannot just write a blog and expect some feedback in 2 days, 50 clients reaching out just you because you wrote a blog. It takes time. However, with the prospecting, it's like once you have the messages and the target, you start conversating. And we have cases in the first month, he gets 15 meetings, he closed 5 clients within the first month. And that is like, okay, extraordinary example. We have examples where 0 meetings in the first month, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, you start getting feedback and the agile way, adjusting the campaign and see what works. And that gives some insightful feedback to our clients as well.
Thanks for all of that. Love it. Other than the immediate pitch where you connect with someone and you try and sell to them straight away, what are some of the main mistakes that people make?
There are so many mistakes. I mean, when we are receiving the campaigns, because yeah, they target us as well, just by the way of how they are structuring the message sequence, you can realize whether it's junior, whether it's senior, whether they've just started with the outreach, because it's like evolution curve. You start like, wow, I can send to 1 million people message. Why would I bother with customization? I'll just dump one basic message to everybody. And then as you grow, you realize, well, you know what? What if I actually break it into categories and then I could have more tailored messages and improve the conversation? And then you're saying, well, that category can be 50 different subsegments and then create different variations of the messages. And that's how the more personalized you get, the better it is. And that's only at the start, because the automation will just get some kind of response. But then if you try to do automation all the way to the meeting, it will never work. That's, I can guarantee for that. So, but then you're seeing how manual conversation goes. You know, we have a here inside joke. It's like, you don't go to a bar, you find a girl and then you on your knee, will you marry me directly? I mean, what she would say, of course, okay, there are some small chances she might say yes, but the majority will say no. And that's what happens when you go like, hi, my name is Dancho, would you like to buy my service? No, thank you. Next. Hi, my name is Dancho, would you like to? Especially when it comes to more expensive services, high ticket service providers like 5K, 10K, 50K, 500,000K, you don't just put a Facebook ad in this case with a flashy LED, 50,000 euro service, click now, and the client, okay, click, swipe their credit card. It doesn't work like that, because in a B2B, it's a bit more complicated sales process and there are more multiple people involved and the sales cycle is a bit longer. So the joke with the marriaging on the first meeting, it does require get to them, start some chit-chatting about, I don't know, the weather or about sports. Okay, sports is a bad topic talking with girls, but the whole point is you start with some general conversation. Even if you see that there is the chemistry, you go on a more deeper conversation, then you have another date and many more dates, and then you get to actually popping up the question. And I think that it is the same in building a relationship on LinkedIn, actually, not just LinkedIn. On B2B relationship, you don't go, hi, my name is Dancho, our service is 10K, would you like to buy it? It's more like, start a conversation, some more general first, to start getting. And if you see that the conversation is good, go a step deeper and then do some nurturing and start asking questions. And it doesn't have to be interview like, hi, do you use Outreach? Yes. What kind of Outreach are you using? Well, we do. Have you considered LinkedIn? No, or actually, yes. Well, how happy are you? That's not really a conversation. That's like interview. Conversation meaning like, hi, have you done Outreach? Yeah, I've tried, but I'm not happy. I was not really happy. Yeah, I know you're feeling. We actually also, so you're actually sharing some personal insights, and that is a conversation. I mean, I feel like we need to teach people how to communicate, which is really the digital outreach fever. I was talking to you again. I mean, when you're in a bar, yeah, there are the type of people that they don't care what you have to say and they're just blah, 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 talking nonstop. But the meaningful conversation is you ask a question, they respond, you reflect something from you, and then you ask another question, and they ask a question about you, and that is actually a conversation. And I don't know why that cannot be moved on LinkedIn. It can. We've done it. It works like magic, and it's so refreshing because people are like from the beginning, what do you want? Why do you ask me? And then when you get to a relationship, yeah, if there is no opportunity, that's it. No pitching, nothing. If you see that there is an opportunity, you still no pitching, you're just inviting them on a call, because on the meeting you can better diagnose exactly what's their problem and whether you can really help or not. So at the end of the day, you're not really selling. You have a way of how to solve a problem. And if you find the type of person that has exactly that problem, then you're saying, dude, I can help you. I know exactly that pain point and I can solve. And here is several case studies with similar companies like you, and this is exactly what we solve. And then it's really not even a selling, it's actually helping as many companies as possible. And that's the only difference that I'm trying to teach everybody, that when you're doing outreach, if you're looking at it as a sales process in your head, it will be like, I'm sending message one, then a message two, and then I'm going to invite them on a free consultation call, which never works because we are seeing it as a free consultation call, but my time is so valuable. 200 euros per hour, 500 euros per hour, and they're going to get it for free. But we're forgetting that they also are investing 1 hour of their time. And I'm not always interested in investing 1 hour to a complete stranger. I mean, we're in a business world on a tight schedule. So when you're giving me half an hour or 1 hour free consultation, you're also asking me to make the same commitment, which is not always willing to commit. And that's why we're saying, well, you cannot put into the sequence. You need to have some chit chat, establish some authority in this relationship. So when you invite them on a call, they're going to actually say, you know what? I actually am interested to hear your art. I want to see what you have to sell, or how would you actually help me? And that is a game changer. If you get it to that kind of level of a relationship, it's really much easier, actually.
Have you got any data or any thoughts on number of touch points or perhaps time frame from initial or first message to either customer or how long it takes to turn an initial, or the average of how long it takes to turn an initial conversation into a sale?
Yeah, well, it really depends. That's the consulting answer, as always. When you ask a consultant, they just, it depends. But the goal is that, how I see it, Thomas, is that you can set up the sequence for the conversation starter, as the funnel is like this, just at the top. So you send an invitation, they accept you, you send message one, you wait a few days, you send message conversation starter two, see if they engage, if not you, but we do four messages. And we do that because the first one is actually the duality, the second one is the empathy, the third one is that if they did not engage to the first two, is a credibility, show them a bit about you and what you've achieved. And then the fourth one is usually as a farewell, as a free value, like maybe you're busy now since you didn't respond to my three previous, here is a free ebook or free something that you can just taste it, because as you're tasting it, I'm building my authority actually. But once they actually responded, there is no time frame, because when they responded, we're in the funnel and then we chit chat. Now, if you sent 1000 invitation, there you have 50% acceptance rate. You have 500 people that are in your sequence, right? A small percentage of them will say, you know what? You're exactly what I needed. Let's jump on a call. And that's like a sales cycle of what? A few days? Because you send them an invitation, they accept you, you send the first conversation starter, they respond, and they were actually considering that they need an agency for that. And you're like, well, perfect, let's jump on a call. And that's it. It's like few days cell cycle. On the other hand, I'm talking extremes now. The other extreme is that you reach out to someone, they're like, don't bother me, I'm not interested, I really don't want to do that. And you're like, fair enough, I'll stop the sequence, I'll stop bothering you. But all in between, we'll actually engage into conversation. With some, it will be within few days or weeks. We have prospects that we're not actively nurturing them for 6 months, but you know, you exchange some messages while it's hot and then they cooled out a bit. But after a month, you have a new blog, then you're writing them, you know what? We actually created a blog specifically for you as a target audience. And then after 3 months, they saw some post on LinkedIn and they're like, you know what? I actually saw your post. Shall we have the call now? So there is no average, but it is a compound effect, because if you continue daily, 1 month, second month, you will have some delayed effects from the first month and also from the second. On the third month, you have some meetings started from the first month and from the second and from the third. So as you go further in the campaign, it will be more and more. It will be a compounding effect.
Okay, interesting. So what are your goals for Bisbee?
Oh, ambitious to the 100%. Well, actually, we have a book coming up. I have to mention that. We've signed a publishing contract with a UK publishing house, and we go over the entire LinkedIn and email prospecting process. How we do it with Bisbee, really step by step, from the strategic part, from like how to structure it and how to set it up, to actually practical step by step how to do it. It is expected to be out in August, so my focus will be really pushing the book out to as many people as possible, because I truly believe that spam is here and it will be for a long time, but then Google will tweak their algorithm and kick out all the spammers. Then LinkedIn will tweak their algorithm, they'll also kick out all the spammers. And at the end of the day, it will be really left to relationship building. And we're not inventing the hot water. I mean, Thomas, the corporation have BDRs and SDRs in their company, like 30 to 50 people that are reaching out to cold prospects and building relationship. And once they have it as a qualified lead, they're moving it to the senior salespeople. So as an activity, it cannot cease to exist. It just needs to be more quality over quantity. And our second goal was actually to build an online academy, which will be, I mean, during the process of writing the book, we've created quite a lot of frameworks. Frameworks on how to create the messages, as I told you, like duality, empathy, and what works and what doesn't. And our goal is now to transfer that knowledge through a book, and also actually create a 8-week academy where SDRs, or people that want to get higher in the corporate ladder, or business owners, particularly service providers like consultants, marketing agencies, software companies, whether it's a software as a service or software development, could actually come on the academy and actually try to better understand who is their ideal client and how to reach out to them. So those two things will be really high priority for us in this 2021. And hopefully this Corona stuff will end soon, because I mean, all our employees, Bisbee, we have 25 people at the moment. They're all in-house. We don't outsource. We don't do anything outside. Everything, all the people are in Macedonia, in Skopje. And it's just now due to Corona, everybody are working from home. So I'm hoping that really it's not a plan, it's a hope that we could come back all together, because the energy is much different. When you have people and then you need a decision, you take someone from marketing and then you take a nurture specialist, and that synergy I'm actually missing here now. But at the end of the day, that is beyond our control. And hopefully it will end soon and we can all get together in the same office.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Certainly an adjustment to be made, isn't it?
Yeah, well, for us, the Corona helped us a bit, because, you know, there were a lot of grounding of flights and everything, all the B2B events were cancelled and everything, and it pushed companies that they have to move online. Unfortunately, there were so many mistakes made, because you're in a rush, you don't know how to do digital outreach, and you make it wrong, and you invest a lot of money in the bad ways, and so many companies ceased to exist during this period. But on the other hand, there were so many companies that reached out to us and said, you know what, we need help. And in help, not just do the outreach, but we were doing this, and now we're forced to figure out how to qualify prospects, how to reach out them, how to nurture them, how to get them on a call. And people were used to, you know, physical meetings. And now with the Zoom, it's much harder. I mean, it's harder to connect to people on a personal level on a Zoom rather than having them sitting next to you where you can present them and feel the energy, the vibe in the room in order whether to speed up or to slow down or how to present. So for us, the corona was actually an improvement, unfortunately. For us, it was good because a lot of companies were pushed to digitalize and start looking for online ways to reach out to potential clients.
And with anything new, I think that people, rightly or wrongly, can always be a little bit scared maybe about trying something new. If there was someone who was interested and they were like, yeah, this does sound interesting, what would you say to them?
Well, I'm a firm believer on the agile approach. Before this, I was working in a software company and I did my master on Scrum and agile project development methodologies. And honestly, I truly believe now even businesses should be run as agile as possible. I'm a management consultant, but you can no longer make a 3-year business plan. I mean, who put Corona into their plan when they did in 2019, like, I'm going to grow this business and then Corona will came in. So with the agile approach, I've realized that with the outreach, you have the luxury of listening to the feedback from your ideal clients. So if your ideal clients are management consultants, or if your ideal clients are e-commerce stores, with the prospecting, you're reaching out to them. And that feedback is golden nuggets for me, because you can tweak the services, you can find some new problems and actually create new services. You can make add-on to the service, like add additional services, because like 50 cold prospects, if they say, yeah, but we also needed this, then you have a new service. You just add it and start offering it that as well. So for whoever is interested in doing the outreach, I would actually recommend to go to our website, which is bizbeesolution.com. And we do really have a lot of resources. We have biweekly blog where we try to give our best on what we've learned in the last 2 weeks. We have a biweekly newsletter, which covers different topics. One is copywriting for outreach, another is for LinkedIn or database building. And we have the ebooks, which are free, that you can just download and try to do it yourself. On the other hand, so that's why I'm actually dividing, one is do it yourself, or on the other hand, the done for you part, which is our agency, then we take care of absolutely everything, from defining the ideal target, optimizing the profile, setting up the message sequences, executing the campaign, handling all the responses, and you just give us your Calendly link and we just start getting you meetings on Calendly. So the both approaches, we believe, and that's why we're not going to make money out of the content, but we're sharing it for free, because I truly believe that if only few owners from your audience go to the BizBee website, download the ebooks and try it on themselves, and if they had few more clients and if that helps save their businesses, I'm happy. It doesn't have to be that everybody has to earn money and everything is for profit. It is a tough time and people are struggling and businesses are suffering. So the whole goal is that if you could use outreach to get at least one or two new clients that could keep you afloat for some time, I'm happy.
Well, I think you've given a lot of value today. So on behalf of the audience, thank you for that. And can you remind me of the link, and also where else might be the best place for people to find you?
Yeah, well, the website of our company is www.bizbeesolution.com. And I mean, personally, I'm active on LinkedIn, of course. We do what we preach. And Facebook. I mean, I never got to that Instagram thing and Twitter thing and all the other social media. So you can find me as Dancho Dimkov on LinkedIn or on Facebook, where we also share a lot of things that as we learn, as we find new stuff, we update it frequently.
Dancho Dimkov, thank you very much.
Yeah, Thomas, thank you very much for inviting me to this podcast. I really enjoyed talking about outreach, and I truly hope that I've inspired some of the audience to at least give it a try. To try talking with people. I know that at one point for me it was an ego stuff, you know, yeah, but if I reach out to them, they should chase me, I'm not gonna chase them. But that's still with the sales mindset. When you are reaching out with the relationship building mindset, you're just expanding your network. And network is really an important thing when you're growing a business. And the more people you have in your network, a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, you could always, and it's not always the relationship building about clients. Many times I actually ended up buying services because, yeah, as a company, the goal is to sell services, but you need services in order to grow. So many times as we sell to a client and we're listening about the services, like, wait a minute, I actually need this. So if you're going with a mindset to sell, 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 they can feel that. I mean, a cold prospect is when you're so pushy, but why don't you buy and stuff? They can feel it. But if you're going with a mindset to actually just, yeah, I want to get as many friends with my ideal client profiles, even if they don't have on it now, it's fine. They're going to get there at some point, or maybe never, but they are in your ideal client. They have a friend that could use your services. So from my angle is that I truly hope that some of the audience will actually try with the outreach, start building the relationship, and hopefully they'll manage to get some clients out of it at the end of the day.
Well, I think you've given enough information for people to get started at least. So thank you very much.